You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
Welcome to another great episode of SWTOR Reforged. This is episode 36, recorded Monday, May 19th, 2014. Our show is sponsored in part by Tweaked Audio, tweakedaudio.com, for awesome headphones and 30% off, free worldwide shipping, by the way. You'll need our code, Off the Record. And you can use that at tweakedaudio.com and by Audible, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Use that link to download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. More on those folks later on in the show. You can find out more about our show at SWTORReforged.com. That's SWTOR. REFORGED.com. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook. And more than that, you can interact with us on Facebook as well. We got the Lore Master's question that posts on there every single week over at facebook.com/SWTORReforged. And send us an email at SWTORReforged@gmail.com or just tweet the show at SWTORReforged. Again, SWTORREFORGED. We record this show every single week live at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. And, of course, don't forget everything that we got going on at the Quest Gaming Network at questgamingnetwork.com. We got a lot of awesome stuff to talk about today, including a beefy second part of the developer's roadmap of 2014, plus what we did in this game this week, and SWTOR. Gee whiz, folks, it's no longer considered canonical by at least one reputable source. Screw them, right, Agent Olan? And we've got Agent Olan's intelligence report. Lou will be presenting The Chiss, Part 1. That's not all. We've got our Star Wars recommendations of the week. The weekly winner of the Lore Master's Star Wars trivia question of the week. And your emails, tweets, Facebook posts, and the SWTOR podcast fan site weekly update on our holofeed. I'm Jedi Master of Arwen, and I got Agent Olan right here next to me in the cockpit of the Ebon Millennium.
Hello, Ivarwin. Thank you for the intro. Hello, everyone. Twitch. Hello, chat room. What is going on?
That's right, and we're not alone. Seated to my left-hand side right here in the cockpit is the one and only, the evil, the dastardly, the guy who does not like to shave any part of his body at all. There you have it. Sith Lord Korf.
I don't need to shave anything. I'm so old I quit growing hair millennia ago.
Okay.
And I'm glad to see you can let go of your porcelain throne long enough to join us this week, Jedi.
Yes, thank you very much. we're not alone, though. We've got Q2F3. And Boda! Not to mention Shriek.
Both of whom are losers.
Oh, poor Bodar.
Did anybody happen to notice that the episode I hosted, Treek actually got to be in the intro?
I did notice this thing.
It made her happy.
She sounds happy, isn't that right, girl?
Good little Treeky. Yup, yup, yeah.
We got something quick to mention about the Lore Masters Trivia Question of the Week. Go ahead. Agent O'Line, please report.
All right. As everyone just mentioned, Trivia Question of the Week. It's part of our Cartel Pack giveaway. All right. So take the Trivia Challenge and answer the Trivia Question of the Week. As we just mentioned, it's your chance to win a free Cartel Pack, courtesy of the show. And we'll have more details to follow later on.
That's right. Now, we'll be getting into our first discussion topic here in just a few minutes. But first, I sort of want to just sort of recall back to last week's episode where we actually played the game for a little while and talked. Now, I know we later on in the show we've got something on Facebook. We asked you how you liked it, but I want to ask you guys, starting maybe with Sith Lord Korv over there. How did you enjoy that episode, man?
Well, I like the episodes when we actually get to play the game together. Because, you know, when we're not doing the show, all three of us have very different schedules. So it's kind of a difficult thing for us to all sync up and play at the same time. So when we get the opportunity where there's not a whole lot of news or there's a holiday or something, it is nice to be able to take that break and just play the game together.
And oh, yeah.
From what we've seen from our fans on Facebook, they'd much rather we do an episode like that than just not do a show that week.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that sort of works. That works for us because, you know, like you had said, it's nice to have like a really solid backup plan for when, you know, maybe there's just nothing. No news at all whatsoever in SWTOR, and you're just kind of, you know, reaching for stuff, and you know, you can always kind of tell when we're reaching for topics.
When we pick something really terrible off the forums to talk about that,
right?
We know is ridiculous before we ever introduce the topic,
right? You know, maybe it has something to do with, you know, maybe something we thought BioWare was saying something, and in fact, they weren't. That kind of a thing.
Yes, and for those of you that don't know what he's referencing, you really should watch the show live.
BioWare didn't say that.
That what he's referencing never made it into the final show.
No, it didn't. That's what's great about live. Live show is totally different than the podcast. You know, the final version is what we want you to, experience. It's our what we think you should be experiencing. Our best foot forward, but of course, you know, going live here at twitch.tv/questgamingnetwork, you know, that's where it's all going on right there, unadulterated and unedited. So if you can make it, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mondays, check it out. It's some funny stuff.
The final version is when we're done polishing this turd we call SWTOR Reforged.
What'd you think, Lou?
You know, I just want to build upon what you guys have said. I actually do like those episodes where we actually do showcase our gameplay together. Because as Fred just mentioned, yeah, we three different people, three completely different lives. So yeah, it does kind of it becomes difficult to actually schedule actual game time to share with each other.
Right.
So when we actually have those opportunities, man, I am all for it.
You remember last week? It was like one of my bullet points. I'm like, I got to play with both Lou and Ivarwin at different times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I really do like those episodes because, yeah, you know, like every game out there, they don't put out stuff every week, every single day.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know that, you know, if we do see that it's a slow week from SWTOR or even, gosh, any game we cover, at least we have the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Because it's slow, we know we can do something else to actually, let's show the game to people. You know, let's show the people what we do in game or how we, you know, how we play together.
Yeah. And you know, just as a final note here, you know, it's really difficult for us to actually stream the game together during the week. And I think I kind of am the wrench in the cogwheels here when it comes to this because I get so busy between work, my personal life, and then background network stuff and you know, running it is a business, running the business itself and doing research and writing notes and then broadcasting, editing, posting. I mean, it's crazy. So to take a few minutes when you have it and do a live stream, sometimes it's just like, all right, so what's Fred doing? What's Lou doing? And is this a good time for them? And a lot of times it just doesn't sync up. So it allows us to, you know, every now and again throw that out there and say, hey, you know, we're going to do a different kind of show this week around because there's no news or because there was a holiday and we couldn't get to the notes. We're going to just stream and just chat. And I think it makes for a good show as well. The audio that came out last episode was solid, so I enjoyed it.
Believe me, it's not for lack of trying. There are plenty of times when everyone sends us a text and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? I was thinking about streaming some tour. And, you know, Lou's like, well, I'm in the middle of saving the country. And I'm like, I'm taking a crap. So everyone's like, well, I guess it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know, Fred's on that Star Wars bowl of his for quite a while.
It's a crap.
It's a crap.
Admiral Ackbar toilet seat cover included.
Yeah. That's right.
Fred's busy conjuring next week's episode.
How you feel about that, Bodar? Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that part of it was kind of, okay. So, yeah, all right.
Help,
I agree.
Help him pull the hair out of the elastic.
Well, we're going to get into our first discussion point here. But first, Lou, why don't you take us into hyperdrive, my friend?
All right, let's punch in the navigation. Corners and having a computer. Hey, would you mind pulling that lever over there?
Yeah, hold on 1 second here. In there, okay. And here we go. There. And... Woohoo! All right.
Oh, Yvonne.
Yes, sir.
You drew the short straw this morning. Uh-huh. So that means tonight it's your turn to rub sticks of butter through Treek's fur.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, Treek.
Remember, she likes the unsalted kind. And you have to let it get to room temperature first.
I need the mental bleach for now.
You know, Lieutenant Commander Rhodes spoiled her. She expects it every night now.
Ah, I know. Not this time. Not this time, Treek. I'm sorry. Noopa. Yeah, I gotta edit the show. I'm sorry, dear.
She's making a spear with your name on it.
So Fred, you brought up a really interesting topic last week that we definitely needed to touch on. And we touched on it, but I think, you know, it warrants, you know, further discussion, like we said last week. And that is the developer roadmap for 2014.
Yes. We got basically the second half of the roadmap from Bruce McLean, mm-hmm. where he outlined quite a few things that are going to be coming to the Old Republic for the second half of 2014. And I've gone ahead and, in our notes here, I've broken the letter he gave into several different bullet points that we can dissect and discuss, because this is the biggest part of our news for the week, so we have plenty of time to spend on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to go right down the old list here of bullet points that we want to bring up. 2.8 will be coming out June 10th. They're talking about the Nar Shaddaa Casino, double fleet requisition, war zone comms, and end credits from PvP matches, group finder operations overhaul, nightmare mode for Dread Palace, nightmare Dread Fortress update, two new starfighter variants will be available to pilots on both sides of the conflict. They're talking about events like double XP weekend, the Gree event, bounty contract week, possible Rakul resurgence, 2.9 apparently. They make a little teaser about that and one or two other items. So Fred, why don't we delve right into this head first? Game update 2.8 on June 10th.
Okay. Well, game update 2.8, the biggest part of that obviously is going to be there's going to be major class changes, which we alluded to a couple weeks ago, but we didn't really go into detail about it because they're still finalizing them. It's on the test server right now. You know, they're messing around with that. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about in the roadmap here is going to be coming in 2.8 or between 2.8 and 2.9. But yes, as of right now, 2.8 still on track to hit on June 10th.
Very good. Nar Shaddaa Casino. Now, for the first time, players are invited to the casinos on Nar Shaddaa to try their luck on the slot machines. Credits can be used to purchase tokens, which in turn can be used on slot machines. Lucky winners will receive certificates that can be traded in for unique rewards that will only be distributed during the Nar Shaddaa Nightlife event. This event will run from June 10th to August 19th. Wow, wow, wow. Agent Olan.
Oh, my God. I am glad that they're finally allowing us to actually gamble on Nar Shaddaa, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. It started from KOTOR onward to SWOTOR. You know, Nar Shaddaa, it's like Las Vegas on steroids in space.
Yeah.
In the galaxy. And the fact is, you couldn't do anything but quest. You know, no side little, you know, quality of life thing, you know, little distracting things that you could do in the game. You know, I know we mentioned in the past, like stuff you could do in KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2. You mean, you could play Pazak. Yeah. You know, I think there were a couple of quests in there in both games that involved Pazak. You know, where you can save NPCs or get some items from these NPCs playing the game. So I'm glad they're finally bringing that part into the game.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you walk into Nar Shaddaa, and like one of the first things that's just right there in your face is the fact that, you know, you are in like a lot of places are just giant casinos, and you can't help but feel like it'd be awesome if you could actually play on those slot machines. And I'm glad they found a way to do that, because this is just one more way to add a little life to the game, add a little something to the game that you can play the game, be in the game, be with your character, be with your friends, be with your guild, and not necessarily have to be grinding towards something. You know, you could take a 20-minute, half-hour, 45-minute break and just kind of have a little blow some steam off and maybe get over a quest that didn't quite work out so well for you. Or maybe just, you know, while you're waiting around, hang out over there while you're getting your group together for a raid or something, and, you know, have some fun. Now, Fred, you're saying that the Nar Shaddaa nightlife event, right? Delphi's was reporting on some events that some items that are going to be on the event vendor, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the thing to keep in mind with this, the only way to get the golden certificates to buy the items is by playing on the slot machines, which means it's going to be entirely random. Mm. And I know somebody put a video out there, and I forget exactly who it was, but it was linked on Twitter, where in about 10 minutes, somebody managed to spend over 500,000 credits.
Oh, my God.
There's someone with a problem.
I don't know offhand the actual price of the gambling tokens, but it's assumed this is going to be a definite credit sink while this event's running.
Right.
And the implication is that this is going to be an annual event that runs once a year.
I mean, it's long enough. Starting when the patch drops, 2.8, June 10th, right? And then going on to August 19th is when this whole Nar Shaddaa nightlife event is going to be going on. So look forward to our discussion on some gameplay with that. So what did you want to call attention to with the event, like the items on the event vendor?
All right, well, first off, the armor set, in my opinion, is ugly, but it's there. The mounts that are being added with the vendor are a unique skin that hasn't been seen. Like, the mount model itself is different than what is already available in the game.
Right.
Then there's a Rancor being added for the event.
I'm going to... The mounts that we're talking about here, let me just pop over to our video feed here and just show some of these pictures. I really like these speeders.
Yeah, that looks pretty neat, doesn't it?
Yeah. It kind of has like a 1950s sort of a look to it.
Yes, 1950s hot rod.
Yeah.
From like George Lucas' film American Graffiti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got the video playing here as well with that. Pretty cool looking. Go ahead, Fred. I got this up on the feed right now, so
continue. Well, then below the mounts, they actually have one of each weapon type that's being added in this patch. And for the most part, they're all pretty standard to what we've seen from different models in the game, except for the assault cannon and the blaster rifle.
Ooh. Even the blaster pistol.
Yes, they're all different models, but the blaster pistol, I'm not as impressed by that as I am by the assault cannon and by the sniper rifle. Because the the blaster rifle looks like a Tommy gun.
Yes, it does. A Thompson machine gun.
And the assault rifle, it actually opens up like a Venus flytrap or something with like three prongs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I got the Rancor on the feed right now. They're kind of demoing this for everyone in the chat room. Another reason why you should check us out live, folks. But that Rancor is pretty cool. Like that, I might actually want. I think it's cool. Lumbering around. So
watching it move at 110% speed.
Now, what do you guys think about these lightsaber models?
Let me get down to that.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down now, but I definitely am getting that blaster rifle for my agent. Oh, my God.
Let's check these out.
That means you're going to have to farm daily so that you have the money to spend at the casino.
Well, I'll get that later on in my gameplay.
You know, cool-looking lightsabers are definitely nice. It's a nice feature, but, you hardly ever see the hilt.
I think that's why they keep making the hilts larger and larger.
You notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Dolphy's model here, her hand is like 1/4 the size of the hilt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, have you guys noticed, was that one, the saber hilts they have in the cartel market? The Vindicator series. Okay, those things look like, the moment I saw the single hilt one, the first thought that popped in my head was the U.S. Army, like, E-tool. All right, the digging shovel we got. That reminded me of.
That's funny.
I will tell you one thing that I like is that they actually added another HK customization in this event. The HK Hutt Military customization.
That's pretty neat.
That's cool. Is that further down on the page?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, I'll check that out in a second. We have, oh, there it is, HK Hutt Military Customization.
You see, and that's what, the one point I have against this, well, I'm glad they brought it out, because he's a companion, but, you know, on my, you know, when I play my Imperial Agent, my operative, right, I use Scorpio as my companion, as my tank.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, there's nothing out there for her, and yet she's one of your companions. Yeah, HK came in later on, introduced later on. He gets this.
I think that's because everybody can have HK, and that one's restricted to just the agent. And yeah, I would bet that they have metrics to show that not a lot of people use Scorpio.
I understand that they would probably use metrics for that, but that doesn't vindicate the fact that of all the companions available, she has nothing. She is nothing. I mean, you get her as is. That's it.
Well, that's true. And there's a lot of companions that only have like one or two as an option.
Right. But Scorpio doesn't even get that.
All right. So, I guess I'm just moving on from this. anything else that we want to, you know, call attention to with the event vendor and all that? Anything else? All right.
What's your favorite thing listed on the event vendor reward one?
Honestly, like I kind of like that pet that was up on there. Let me get back to it. The little yellow one?
The one that shows off the golden certificate?
Yeah. But see, I closed out of it, and now I'm having a hard time like reloading the page. Okay, here we go. It's a pretty heavy page. Oh, God.
It actually lists right above that, too, that there's a hollow slot machine, which is a regen item.
Yeah, the GO7DY, that's kind of what I was checking out. It's pretty cool.
It's like an interrogation droid with a golden plate.
Right.
Golden drink bladder.
Double fleet requisition, Warzone comms, and credits from PvP matches. For 3 weeks at a time, events will run that yield increased rewards for participating players. Galactic Starfighter will grant players double the fleet requisition and double the credit rewards they would normally get. Warzones will similarly give players double the standard Warzone comms and double the credit rewards. The increased rewards only appear to the rewards on the scorecard at the end of matches, not the rewards you get from daily weekly missions. The Starfighter event will run from 2.8 to 2.81. The Warzone event will be active from 2.81 to 2.82. All right. So, I mean, couple of things I want to call attention to on this one. They're giving increased rewards, right? But they're not. You have to be in PvP in order to get those increased PvP rewards. It's not coming out of the daily or the weekly missions that you complete.
Yes.
So, Lou, I mean, do you think that if they had added it in for the daily and the weekly missions, do you think that really would have been a serious? Do you think it would have caused an issue at all?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm glad they're actually doing this. Okay, the double fleet point of requisition points, comms, and credits for PvE matches, because you know we've had double XP weekends for the PvE side. Mm-hmm. And yet really the PvP side of the house, they really didn't get anything like that at all.
Yeah.
All right, so unfortunately, you know, even though I don't really PvP, all right, the PvPers are, you know, we're all one community, and they got the short end of the stick, you know, for the longest time. And at least now I think BioWare is addressing that, saying, you know what, yeah, we've given the PvE side, you know, double XP weekends and stuff like that for running the flashpoints, operations, and so on. Now we're going to give those who are playing like Starfighter and those who are, you know, heavy into PvP, we're going to show them some love at last. Right, we're going to give them the same opportunity we've given the PvE players before. So I hope, you know, this is a step in the right direction to where they do this more often. You know what? Run a conjunction with double XP weekends.
Yeah, I don't see why not. That'd be pretty awesome. I mean, you're getting that's a huge incentive to jump in, especially for double XP weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Fred, I wanted to call attention to is this: the Starfighter events will run from 2.8 to 2.8.1. Warzone event will be active from 281 to 282. No dates on this.
Well, they did say that it's going to be about 3 weeks, but I don't think they want to give a date just in case they have to delay one of those updates.
Right. But I find it very interesting that, and not for any reason other than the fact that it could, The duration of this could be longer than initially planned by allying it with the release of a patch or an update or however way you wanna sort of separate that or compartmentalize that in your mind. So I mean, you're not talking about a tremendous amount of time, but you're definitely not talking about a week either, which is double XP week. It's a good enough amount of time to get in there, play the game, and get your rewards. But they're saying about 3 weeks. Could be 4. Could be 5 weeks for this for these extra rewards. And I think that's actually really kind of cool. What do you think about that, Fred? Do you think it's kind of like a non-event or like nothing or?
Well, I think that they're going to stick pretty close to that 3-week mark, just because, you know, they're not talking about major updates. They're just talking about like little patches.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they're going to hold off on those. Even if they have nothing else to patch in there, they'll probably still end those events and just call it a patch.
Right. All right. Next thing was Group Finder. Group Finder operations overhaul. Story mode operations will be more accessible to endgame players, level 50 to 55 specifically. The operations section in the Group Finder window will list available operations on a predetermined schedule, rotating in different operations every few days. Players who meet the level requirement of the operation will be bolstered, removing the requirement for endgame gear. Rewards have also been improved, making this a great opportunity for players to earn ultimate commendations and experience new content. These operations will also be for 16-man mode to ensure faster queue times. Both 8 and 16-man need 2 tanks, and that is typically the gating factor. 16-man is also more forgiving to mistakes and should increase the chances of a successful group. I got a problem with this. I have a big problem with this. I do not like this.
What don't you like about it?
What I don't like is the fact that they're completely stripping down the requirements for getting into these operations in the first place. I have no problem with an operation that has a tiered system in it. Story mode, horror mode, nightmare mode. Because you're sort of saying like you've got to do hard mode operation hard mode flashpoints in order to get gear, in order to get earn the right to come into this operation in the first place. And then we bring you on just like the entry level. Come figure out what the story is, enjoy it with your friends, figure out the boss fights. And then for progression guilds, you know, bing, bang, boom. You go to the next one and then a tier above that. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's good. But to completely remove that altogether, and they specifically say it here, they're going to bolster you for these operations, removing the requirement for endgame gear. What the hell are you working hard for at all if they're going to remove the requirement for endgame gear on these group finder operations?
Well, what they're doing here, they're basically doing what World of Warcraft did with the Raid Finder. They want your actual raid content when you're in an actual raid group and raiding to progress. They want that to be the hard modes and nightmare modes. And story mode, they want just for people to be able to see the story content. So they're making it where you can use the looking for group tool, get in a group with random pugs, and run the raid just to see the story.
This is going to fail. This is going to outright fail. It's not going to work. It's bad enough having to put up with, you know, random people being jerks in a pickup group for a flashpoint, which lasts 45 minutes to an hour. Now you're looking at an operate. Now, and I'm glad that it's story mode, because story mode, like I said, it's supposed to be like a relaxed setting almost. As relaxed as an operation can get, I guess. But, I mean, it's definitely not, you know, like party time and don't pay attention to anything and, you know, let the tank and the heels, you know, carry the entire group. Like, that's not what that's supposed to be. And that's, in fact, what I think it's in practice, what it's going to become. Lou, go ahead. Give me your 2 cents on this.
Okay. Well, I just like Fred, I see where they're going with this, what they're trying to do with this. Okay. And at least one thing I'm happy for is that it's only for story mode. All right. I can understand why they want people to see all the endgame content. All right, because you see here, it says the notes, you know, from levels 50 to 55. So you can see at least all the operations from the story mode standpoint, which is great. But then again, as you mentioned before, Varwin, then why would you what's the incentive to actually to work towards these goals, you know? I mean, yes, if you only want to do story mode for the rest of your gaming career in Svolitor, that's fine. But the only thing I want to see, though, I think that's they haven't clarified, or maybe it's not in the notes yet, is that, you know, what are these players getting out of this? Okay, they're probably going to get, I'm assuming, the story mode loot table. Mm. Right, Fred? You know, is that what they're going for?
Yes, the story mode loot presumably won't be changed.
Okay.
Well, no, they're saying here, rewards have also been improved, making this a great opportunity for players to earn ultimate commendations to experience new content.
That's the group finder rewards themselves, but for killing the bosses, you'll still get what normal story mode would have given.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand why they want to do this. They want to open up some of those old operations. They worked hard on them. They spent a lot of R&D cash to get them into the game, and they're not being played right now for a lot of different reasons. I get it, and they want to sort of get people in there. But this is not the way to go. You're completely, I think they're completely watering down those operations even more than they already were. I don't think this is a good move at all. Go ahead, Lou, finish up.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, my concern is if they use this story mode, story mode operations, and you take it to this level to where now are they going to use this to have players now earn the accommodation so they can start or attempt the hard modes? You know, as a way for them to, for players to obtain these accommodations easier. Because maybe they had their own internal metrics saying, you know what, the player base as it stands now isn't doing too well, or we're seeing a significantly small population that we're not comfortable with. Right. Because we do want to see a lot of our players, you know, check out this content from 50 to 55. Because you're right, I mean, they did put a lot of hours, a lot of effort, you know, a lot of writers, a lot of devs put the time and sweat into this, so they want people to experience it. But then by the same token, you know, what does that do to the players who have, have progressed through the operations as originally intended, meaning they went to story mode, nightmare, hard mode, and nightmare mode. All right, they saw and they tracked the definitive progression of their characters and of their guild. But now, to me, it's like they're saying, "Hey, you know what? Here, if you haven't tried it here, go ahead."
Right.
You know, you don't meet the minimum gear requirement to attempt these things at all. That's fine. Yeah, we'll bolster you that way. It's nullified, and you can at least experience it. But then have access to the same loot table that drops in the original story mode. You know, and I guess also too get accommodations that come with that reward as well.
Now I understand they took Columbine Rakata gear out of the game. I get it, but I just don't like to see such a gross watering down. Fred, we'll give the last word on you on this to you on this one.
I think that they did this strategically because they know that not a lot of their player base has been into these raids at all. And with them delaying Galactic Stronghold, they're going to need content for people to stay busy in the game and not go play something else because they have nothing to do in SWTOR. So they're making this change to make those raids more accessible and give the bulk majority of their player base access to content that they previously never had the ability to even try, so that they can stay busy until the expansion comes out, and then they'll have other things to do.
Let's see. Nightmare mode, Dread Palace. That's going to be in 2.8. Face the ultimate challenge. Dreadmasters in their palace with the new nightmare mode mechanics and difficulty. And, of course, an update on Nightmare Dread Fortress. The Nightmare Fortress difficulty buff will be removed. All of the new Nightmare Fortress mechanics are still in place, but it should now be more accessible to larger groups. Fair warning, the unique title for defeating Nightmare Fortress with the buff present will never again be available to those who don't unlock it prior to this game update. So they'll be taking that out. Two new Starfighter variants will be available to pilots on both sides of the conflict. The Skirmisher gunship fills a sniper role and brings dogfighting capabilities to the table, while the Assault Bomber is a heavy fighter that focuses on either mines or drones. So, Fred, real quick, as probably the one guy on the show right now who's been consistently playing GSF, what do you think about these roles being in Galactic Starfighter, and are you interested in playing any of these ships and filling those roles?
Right now, I'm not interested in playing another role, but when I eventually get my Clarion maxed out, I may take a look at Skirmisher gunship, because I know gunships are deadly from ranged right now, and I will be very curious to see how a Skirmisher-type gunship fits into the equation. As far as the bomber goes, I really don't know a whole lot about bombers, because when I do encounter them, they're normally in the matches where you're going after the satellites, and they tuck in real close to the satellites, so you're not really going toe-to-toe with any bombers in my experience. They're more of a defensive ship, so it's going to be interesting to see what a bomber is actually like when it's getting into the actual fight.
All right. Events. This is probably one of the bigger things that I'm far more excited about in this roadmap. We'll be running every one of our major reoccurring events over the period between 2.8 and 2.9. These events include Double XP Weekend, the GREE event, Bounty Contract Week, and they also make a note here, except the Rakul Resurgence. Obviously, the Rakul Plague was completely eliminated the last time, and the galaxy is absolutely safe from another outbreak. Right?
Dun, dun, dun.
So I think we can probably see another Rakul Plague coming as well between 2.8 and 2.9. Fred, never mind. Hold on. We'll get to that in just a second. Actually, let me bring it up. 2.8. The time that we're talking about here between 2.8, that's June 10th. 2.9, they're saying, is still on for August 19th. So between June 10th to August 19th, we're looking at a Double XP Weekend, a GREE event, Bounty Contract Week, and a resurgence in the Rakul event. Lou, as a person who loves these events... That's gotta grab you in ways that maybe you don't want to say on the show right now.
We'll have to censor that. No. Oh man, these events. I mean, I really do love the events, especially the ones I get to actually play, because you know, for those of you maybe listening, while you know, lots of times these events happen when I can't be there. I mean, when was the first? Last time was actually one. No, when we were all together with you, Fred, Paige, and Rode. Okay, I think that was the first live event I actually had a chance to actually be on and actually experience for once in a long time. And man, it's amazing, and I totally loved it. Yeah, I got my ass kicked, but you know, it is so much fun, and I really wish they would do more of these. You know, because it does bring out a lot of the player base, and you see these places are always packed. People have a lot of fun. And as to the Rakul Resurgence, yeah, I'm glad they mentioned that, because, all right, what did they say yet? Was completely eliminated last time. And the galaxy is absolutely safe. Okay. I think I did a lore segment on this a while ago about the Rakuls.
About the Rakuls, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, it's all right. Thorn did its work, and yeah, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't played the event, you know, we did save the galaxy from the latest outbreak. But remember, it's Sith alchemy. So who knows what's out there, you know?
Right.
Just saying.
All right, so then 2.9, right? Still on for August 19th, and they say, with our expanded feature set for Galactic Strongholds, subscriber early access. And they also leave off with this sentiment. The team is making great progress on Strongholds, and we're very excited to share this with you. It's worth noting that Game Update 2.9 will include the next exciting chapter for the Forged Alliance's story arc. And we have a lot of folks working on something very big for later this year that I have yet to give details on. We think about that, Bodar. Yeah. Now, QT, you've been very quiet. Oh, okay. guys, before we move on in the show, let's just round the discussion off with some of our final thoughts on the roadmap. We'll start with Fred.
Well, I'm glad that they're being transparent and telling us what's coming again. Mm. But again, this is only takes us up to August now, so this is basically part two of three of the roadmap, possibly.
Yeah.
Because when we get to August 19th, everybody's going to be wondering, so where's the last part of the roadmap? And hopefully they'll do it just like this, where they'll give us the outline of what's coming between August and December to follow.
And Lou?
I'm glad the PvP community is actually getting their chance to shine, you know, with the double gains, rewards, XP, and so forth. And I'm also totally looking forward to losing all my money in the Narshadok casinos when that finally goes live.
We got an incoming transmission here from David Deenforce, who says, from the good ship Total Heroes, Rakul Plague better include exploding STDs. That's colorful.
Well, was it one of the animations where we got infected during the event? Something like similar to that?
The only thing on this I don't like is just the blatant watering down of those operations. You know, it just sticks me the wrong way. I know there's things in the game that, you know, you could obviously do in order to get into there in the first place. You know, you could do dailies in order to get into those operations in the first place, and they're sort of streamlining it. It's just I don't like this. What I do like is all these events. Double XP Weekend, Gree Event, Bounty Contract Week, Rakul Resurgence between 2.8 and 2.9. I like the fact that this year is just a great year for Swillator. They're just pounding out the content, pounding out the events, and that's right, Treek. So they're pounding it all out, and it feels great. I love it. All right, our week in game. It's been a good week. I will tell you that. I have enjoyed this week. Fred, what's been going on? I see you got some pretty cool pictures in here.
Okay. Starting early on in the week, my girlfriend decided she wanted to make an Imperial agent. Mm-hmm. And I had pretty much leveled just about every Imperial class up in to the mid-30s or higher, except for my mercenary. He was only level 16. So I went ahead and deleted him and remade him to play with my girlfriend's character.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so they're level 5 right now. They just finished Hutta, and they're ready to move on to Dromund Kaas. Mm-hmm. Then the major thing was Bounty Contract Week. That hit again this week, and unfortunately I didn't realize that the event was in progress until yesterday. So I missed out on a big opportunity because I'm only 11,000 rep away from being legendary with them. And then I can finally get my Sleen mount.
Right.
Which is something that I really want to have.
Okay, so this picture that you put in the notes here, which I'll put on the video feed, this isn't necessarily you riding your Sleen mount. That's not what that is.
No, but that is the Sleen mount, and I wanted to put that in there for context.
Yeah.
Okay. Fred, I really haven't done the contract weeks, but how many do you get per turn-in?
You get one contract per turn-in. As far as rep goes...
I'm sorry, yeah, how much rep do you get?
I think it's... You get two different tokens. You get the really little minor one, and then you get a blue one for a regular bounty. And if you do a kingpin, you get a purple. So 11,000 wouldn't take me that long to get if I actually knew that the event was going at the time. So probably next month, if I'm anticipating it, I'll probably hit Legendary. I think Rhodes said that he managed to max out his Bounty Hunter stuff the first month that it hit.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just a matter of stockpiling those tokens. Just like the Rackle event, I'm literally one token of any type away from being Legendary with them. I just need to do one quest when it comes back.
So, you know, by August 19th, you're gonna get that done way beforehand.
Yeah, but you know the terrible part about that? Mm. I still won't have any of the currencies that I need to get the mounts.
Really?
Because, yeah, I mean, we talked about that when the event was going on. Like, you need four different types of currency to
get
the mounts.
Right, right, yeah. And you did, but I thought you said that you had, like, a couple of them, but not all of them.
I don't have any of the mount currencies. All I have is the canisters that you get from doing the dailies.
Gotcha.
I wasn't fortunate enough to be there, and even though I did the raid on every character that could, I didn't even get the drops off the raid boss.
That's right, because it's rolled on.
Yeah. So I'm hoping before it comes back they do something to change that up and make it a little bit more accessible to get them out. Because look how long we've been waiting on the event to come back.
Yeah, I seem to remember them saying something to the degree of that it was... We should have had it at least by now. That it was, or at least no, they didn't say anything about it. We were talking on the show about when we think that it would be coming back, and I think we had said sometime in April that we thought it would be coming back. But
well, that's because following their track record, we thought it was going to be like the Gree event and come back basically every month, and then now they haven't even given us the Gree event in forever.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with these events.
It's been like 2-3 months now? Well, at least two?
Like it's been like 3 or 4 since the Gree event was here. Wasn't the last Gree event before the Rackle event?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Because I don't remember a Gree event since we came back.
Yeah, and people have been getting pissed because they've added new things to the Gree event vendor and they don't run the event again.
Yeah. It's like, hey, look at all the cool stuff. You can't buy it all.
Right. So what else, Fred? What else did you do this week in game?
Well, Galactic Starfighter, I finally mastered my primary weapons.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Now I only have 8 more components to go.
Okay.
But that's my first step because this is the first ship I've actually mastered something on. Which right. That picture actually is my ship.
Yeah, I'm actually
going to say, is that your actual ship? Nice.
Looks like it. Let me go ahead and get this up on the stream. This is pretty cool looking. Look at all those fancy guns on there, man.
And you can see I had the mouse over the icon next to my ship's name, so it shows that just the primary weapons is mastered and everything else not mastered.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pretty cool, dude. Yeah,
I'm working on it. And I noticed just mastering that one component, it's like night and day when I actually get into Starfighter. Like, I can blast people into oblivion with my primary weapons now.
Yeah, well, look at how many you got on that thing. Jeez.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're armed to the teeth.
And to think that's supposed to be a support ship.
How have you been doing? I mean, how's your KD ratio?
Kill-death ratio, I think I'm at, like, 0.75 right now. Like, I have a little over 100 deaths and, like, 70 or 80-some kills now. You know, at first I was having way more deaths than kills, though. And now I'm averaging about 3 kills a battle. Because it gives the average, too.
Hmm.
So, I believe if I stick with the ship and continue upgrading components, eventually my death count will be lower than my kill count because I'm gaining on that every match.
Yeah, oh, it sounds like it. Congratulations, dude. That's great. I'm glad to hear that, man.
Yeah, nice. I mean, is that the paint job you chose, Fred? I mean, is that like a tan or a brown or orange on that ship?
It's actually orange. It came out of orange. A cartel pack. Yeah. White and orange. And the actual thrusters in the back of it are actually white, too. And it has orange blasters. So it's customized to match. It's just ironic to me that when I finally decided to give Starfighter a go, it was actually with a Republic ship.
Yeah, I was going to say. This is a Republic gunship, man.
Yeah, I know, but none of the Imperial ones, I just can't gravitate to them for some reason. They're ugly.
Wow. So that's how it is for you, huh?
And you'll be glad to know you can have Treak as a co-pilot.
Yes, yes, yeah, you can. Isn't that right, Treak? Is she a good co-pilot? She slobbers all over your components, too?
Mm-hmm. In fact, it gives you the option to shoot out a slobber missile that covers the enemy's ship in slobber so they can't see where they're going and they fly into asteroids. They call that the Evarwini debuff. Instantly makes the player drunk so they fly into objects.
So, anything else, Fred, for the week?
No, I miss playing Starfighter with you, Varwin.
I don't think you do. I think you like having a nice kill-death ratio instead of me taking the whole
man,
group down.
Even when that was happening, we won every match with you. You're like my good luck charm, man. We got to get in there and play more.
I think it was Road that was doing that. But yeah, man, I would love to, actually.
Man, Road didn't even join us to the end. You were there for like three matches before he joined us, and we won every single one of them. Now, granted, when we first started off, you weren't drunk.
No, I was fully sober at that point, but
worked your way down from there.
Worked my way down from there, right?
It was great, though. We tried giving the enemy team, you know, a handicap advantage by having Varwin be plastered during the match, and they still couldn't win. It's amazing.
Oh boy. What about you, Lou? What have you been doing in game this week?
Oh, it's been a busy week. I've been having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But I got my Republic Trooper, my Vanguard, the tank up to level 35. Almost 36. I just started the Tatooine bonus mission series. And as you see in the notes, I hate Tatooine.
Right.
But I want the XP. I mean, out of all the planets in Swolchar, I mean, there are three of them I hate. Like a white-hot star. Balmora, Tatooine, and Alderaan. You know, I think there's like every character I'm on, no matter Republic or Empire, I always get off those three planets the quickest. I also did all the heroics though on Tatooine because I looked it up on Tor Fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to get the iconic Republic Trooper armor look, because if you see the piece that they put out there, it's something similar to what you see in the last CGI trailer for Swolchar. Okay? Kind of like what Jace Malcolm is wearing, you know, with his helmet, that kind of armor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except for the boots, for some reason. Only four of the rogues give you pieces. I mean, they give you the helmet, the chest piece, the legs, and the gloves, but no boots. I was really hoping that, you know, at least one of the other heroics would give you boots to finish the look, but no such luck, because that's what I was shooting for.
I think chat room's agreeing with you, Lou, about some of those planets. They're saying that Alderaan should be blown up or something.
Yes, can't come soon enough.
Right, ooh, right.
Spoiler. I also, this week, I finally completed Rise of the Hutt Cartel on my Jedi Sentinel.
Oh, how'd you like it?
Overall, I liked it. However, the end fight against Taboro,
mm-hmm,
kind of disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because... All right, spoiler for those of you who haven't done it yet. One, two, three. Okay, when you get to that fight...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're pretty much just fighting that super-powered droid of his. That's it.
Yeah,
the
well,
mechanics of the fight aren't that bad at all.
Right. I mean, well, but I mean, how are you going to fight a hut? Was he going to just like roll all over the, you know, the room and try and like bounce on you and?
True, but you know, I was kind of hoping for something more, I guess, more involved, more exciting, because all I literally did was, you know, again, I'm on my Sentinel, so melee. I pretty much just hugged that robot. Mm-hmm. I saw where the poop was, moved out of it, and never stopped DPSing him.
Yeah.
That was it. Now, as opposed to, I mean, Fred, you've done it on the Imperial side, right?
I actually didn't do the final quest yet.
Oh, for both sides?
No, because I ended up getting to 55 by doing daily, so I just never went back to my cab.
Okay. All right. Then I'll leave it at this. Playing, if this is how it is with the Republic side and then seeing it on the Imperial side, the Imperial side got the short end of the stick. Let's just say the Imperial side, that fight at the end is more involved than the Republic side.
Interesting.
At least in my opinion.
Dave in the chat room is saying there's nothing more dangerous than a Hutt tail whip.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. All that bulk behind it. Oof. And even then, just to finish off, the ending cutscene with the Republic Supreme Chancellor.
I didn't have a problem with that because I sort of felt like, all right, so we're at a point now, like, I just sort of felt like we're leaving it off here and we're going to pick it up and it's going to be, you know, very interesting like later on. So I was actually sort of expecting an end to that without much fanfare around it.
Right. Maybe not fanfare, but something I guess that was more, I'm going to say it just at least lively. Because all you really get from the Supreme Chancellor is another, you know, pounding the old chest, like, yeah, we did a good job, yeah.
Right, right.
Go back out there, you know. I really wish they maybe should have changed some of the lines, because you're actually telling a Jedi Knight to go back out there and kill some more people when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I got kind of like a Clone Wars feeling off of that, like, The Jedi are becoming more warrior than monk.
Right. I mean, which is fine because, you know, at various stages of the Jedi, yeah, they've had to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But it was just that, you know, for someone who's been in the Republic so long, and you know, especially the Supreme Chancellor's character, knowing who the Jedi are, you know, to go out there as part of your speech saying, yeah, go out there, go back in the fight, kill some more bad guys.
Get them, guys.
You know, please find a way to stop the Sith. Yeah. You know, so the Empire stops the war, that sort of thing. But, all right, that was just me. Yeah, I've also been doing tons of dailies to save up credits for a lot of upgrades on all my characters.
How's that been going?
It's going well. But the thing is, you know, after a while, you know, just doing dailies just gets, you know, gets to be a chore.
Yeah, gets monotonous.
Yeah, it does get monotonous. And the fact that they're, I wouldn't say a lot, but they're just, you know, there are quite a few. You have some out there, but it is just, to me, after a while, I just find it tedious. Hmm. You know, because you have the regular dailies on Elam, on Belsavis, and Corellia. All right, then they also have access to the GSI dailies. All right, on McCab, Alderaan, Tatooine, and Hoth. And quite literally, if you just do that, I mean, that's pretty much your entire game day. Sure. I mean, if you only can play for a couple hours, that's it. That's all you're doing in dailies.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that isn't exciting. You know, after a while.
No, absolutely not. Which has always kind of been like my thing with dailies. I don't really like doing them very much. So what I do is I sort of like pick a planet and do those. But I see you've got on the notes here that you sort of picked up your power tech again.
Yes. Yeah, I finally realized. You know what? My fourth character on the Imperial side. Out of the initial four I started, you know, years ago, 2 years ago when the game first launched, mm-hmm. was my power tech. All right, this is going to be the tank version. You know, finally got her off of Bumwara.
Nice.
Okay. When I logged on, last time I logged in, I thought I was done. I realized, no, I had a couple of missions left for the bonus series.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hell, I'm doing this right now. I'm getting the heck off this planet right now. in good riddance, because again, I hate that planet. And one of the things too is that I don't like the bounty hunter armor.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, it's okay, but you know, when I play a Republic Trooper,
yes,
I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
come on,
yeah. I definitely hear what you're saying on that one for sure. My Jedi was in Republic Trooper outfit for a good long while, from like 40 to 50, I believe, and I was just throwing in just, you know, armor and mods and enhancements to keep them up, but I really like the look. Plus, I like sort of, you know, thinking of my Jedi as since he is a tank, kind of like a more of a warrior-esque. I don't know, look more knightish to me.
Right. Exactly. And since, you know, pretty much, you know, I really haven't seen armor in the game for bounty hunters where you can get the, I guess, the stereotypical Mandalorian armor look.
Yeah.
Okay. So the best thing I can do for now for appearance is I'm thinking about setting my old adaptive trooper armor gear.
Nice.
To her.
Do it. And throw the, take some pictures and throw it on the notes and we'll show everyone.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. When are you thinking about doing that?
I'll probably get to it later on this week.
Yeah, cool.
You know, see, first I can find out if I can actually send my old adaptive armor to my bounty hunter.
All right.
I know we can do stuff cross-faction because there's no legacy and stuff, so I'm wondering if I could do that. I mean, if it's bound to me,
yeah,
well, that's bound to my account or just bound to that character, and I'm screwed, but I'll find out.
Anything else this week?
No, that's pretty much it.
Cool. I got Abby up to level 41 this week.
Oh, nice. That's your Sentinel, right?
No. That's Morgan. Abby's my Consular.
Ooh.
Yeah. My DPS Consular, my Sage. And I finally finished the Chapter 2 class quests. I just barreled through Hoth. And now I now have Force Might and Force Valor unlocked for all my classes. So,
nice, sir. Congratulations.
Ugh, dude, it is so great. I love it. I love it so much.
Barreling through Hoth is the way to go because that planet goes on forever.
Yeah, I noticed. I remember doing it the first time on my Jedi Knight. So I just wanted to get in, get out, like I said last week, get Force Valor unlocked for all of my classes, and then, you know, focus on a dark side character. Which I was gonna focus on my Inquisitor, and I still might do that, but at the same time, like, I just started a sniper today.
Oh,
I mean I've never had that character. I've never had that class before. And, you know, I wanted to start something that I've never done before, which is the reason why I wasn't gonna play my Inquisitor at all today. So I started the sniper, and I'm looking forward to playing more with her. Right now she's still on Hutta. Just got her up to, I don't know, she's right in the beginning of the game, obviously. So I think I got her up to like 4 or 5, and she's a cyborg. So looking forward to playing her, and it's going to be a good time. So hopefully, I don't know, I have a Sith warrior, a Inquisitor, and now my sniper. What do you guys want me to get up to 55?
I would advise you, if you're going to do the Imperial Agent, go operative, because sniper, you'll kind of feel like you're underpowered and you suck once you get into the 20s.
Okay.
And if you're an operative, even if you go DPS, you have heal spells that you can use in a pinch.
Okay.
And aesthetically, you won't notice much of a difference, because you're going to be using a blaster rifle instead of a sniper rifle. And sniper rifles are pretty limited in availability, just kind of like the assault cannons are, because only one class can use them. Whereas blaster rifles, there's multiple classes that can use them.
Right, and you know, that was you gave me very similar advice on the trooper as well regarding the two class options. But for our you know gameplay together, what would you rather me get up to 55 first?
One more time. Which Imperial classes did you say you're working on right now?
I have a Sith Warrior.
Tank or DPS?
I believe he is a tank.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to think about it. But yeah, he's a tank. A Inquisitor, DPS. And just started the Imperial Agent.
Probably the Sith Warrior would be the best fit.
For the tank?
Yes.
That's what you need? Okay.
Because our 55s, like what my girlfriend and I play, I have a 55 operative healer, and she has a 55 sorcerer, or not sorcerer, assassin, DPS.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And Lou, you know, he's got pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, 55 operative, 55 marauder, 55 sorcerer.
They're all 55. All right. So then I'll focus on that then. And I got Jenny to download SWTOR this week, and her and I played for a little bit today since I was off. We both started Jedi Knights. This way, I can show her, you know, the game a little bit and show her Tython. She was having some really serious lag issues. And that's because of internet at her house, really, is what it boils down to. But
I'm blaming Time Warner Cable. Looking at you, TWC.
She was enjoying it. She definitely was enjoying it. So hopefully get her in game a little bit more and have a good time. So I miss having an MMO to play with her, and she was saying the same thing earlier today. It was definitely nice to get back into playing an MMO with her. All right, Fred, what is this about SWTOR being officially non-canonical now? My goodness, how many more punches in the face over this can we take?
Okay,
in 1 year.
So here's the story. Wikipedia. Like Wikipedia, everybody that's a Star Wars fan has pretty much heard of this website for the most part, right?
Right.
And to most of us that are Star Wars fans, we consider this to be a pretty good resource for compiling everything in the extended universe, right?
Yeah.
They have now officially listed SWTOR as being in the non-canonical section. Which somebody was quick to point out in the forums.
Indeed.
So SWTOR is now grouped with the rest of the expanded universe in the non-canonical section. Thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know. For me personally, knowing that I'm playing something that hasn't technically happened in the SWTOR universe, I probably could have guessed that. If I could have guessed that if it were going to be canonical or not, that it wouldn't be. But we never had any official answer. Now it seems like we're getting something. And it kind of stinks. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah, this doesn't sit well with me at all. All right, I mean, I understand. Well, everyone understands that, you know, Disney now owns the franchise, so they own Star Wars. Okay. So now I'm just wondering if they're moving this direction so that they can totally disassociate themselves from everything. Okay? Not only SWTOR, but are they also going to distance themselves from KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2?
Those games are included in that non-canonical list now.
Yeah. I think you could pretty much guess that, yeah.
You know, and to me, that just irks me. Okay? I understand they want to move forward. They may have a new vision for the Star Wars IP, you know, starting with Episode 7 going forward. But hell, come on, this is a lot of great work You know, that's been done in the past 30 years, the expanded universe. Okay, a lot of great work, a lot of great storytelling that went into KOTOR games and now SWOTOR.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much just slapping everyone in the face saying, nope, this work just doesn't cut it.
Honestly, you know, it feels like laziness because they're too lazy to learn their own canon. So they just wanted to rule it all out so they can do whatever they want outside of the movies, and just the fans should be okay with that.
Well, see, that's one of the things that grates on me, is the fact that, you know, again, I'm going to reference back to if Disney is, in fact, you know, one of the main reasons why they're shifting this stuff away. And we all know what Disney stands for. You know, one of their main themes, you know, is what? Kid family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you think about it, what do the KOTOR games, SWOTOR games represent? And I even question why they even bought the Star Wars franchise. What's in the name? Star Wars. You know, good versus evil. You know, there's going to be fighting involved.
Sure.
Maybe some violence. All right. And now you're just telling everyone, you know, BioWare's work just doesn't cut it. You know, maybe even the Dark Horse comics in the past, like Tales of the Jedi, Dawn of the Jedi. Okay, all that's on the wayside now. It's great to read, but you know what? Don't ever reference that again because we're never going to acknowledge it.
Right. Fred, where do you stand on this?
Pretty much the same place that Lou does.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but in the same way you saw it coming, I did too, because...
Yeah.
And I really do feel like it's laziness. Like, they didn't want to take the time to go over all of the expanded universe material to make sure anything that they did in the movie wouldn't conflict with it. So they just decided to take the cop out and say, okay, well, everything that was done outside of the movies is non-canonical now. I really feel like that's why they did this, because they didn't want to take the time to learn about what happened in all those EU books.
Ralrus in the chat room is saying, given how the prequels turned out, I prefer the non-canonical over the canon stuff at this point.
Yeah, if you're going to rule anything out, you should have ruled the prequels out as being non-canonical.
I don't disagree with the chat room on that one. It's especially like you're telling me like an awesome character like Revan and other characters like Bast Lashan are not gonna be, you know, considered at all. I mean, what about the idea of having an Old Republic TV series or an Old Republic movie series? You know, why does everything have to revolve around the, you know, pre and post 30, 40, 50 years of the Battle of Yavin? You know, you've got a tremendous universe that spans, you know, if you look at the non-canonical expanded universe, it goes back 25, 30,000 years. Why? I don't get it. So it stinks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you've looked at any of the trailers or the new trailer for Star Wars Rebels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one big part of it that irks me is just like maybe the disturbing trend, or to bring anime as a reference here, the past 10, 15 years, always having a little kid involved in the main storyline. Okay,
oh,
Star Wars Rebels has
saying.
Some
yeah.
wet behind the ears, snot-nosed kid as part of the main crew.
Right.
All right, and what are they doing? You know, they're one of the first rebel cells to ever form. All right, to fight the Empire. But yeah, we're going to grab some, you know, 12, 13-year-old, you know, brat. Bring him along in this galaxy-hopping quest to destroy the Empire.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. You're really going to make an attempt at the Empire, why are you tugging a kid along with you? That's just stupid.
Right, I can understand if you brought it from the Jedi standpoint, because yes, you have Padawans and you're training them from birth, or, you know, from pretty much from birth to become a knight. So yes, you know, that's the unfortunate aspect. You know, it's like a knight and a squire from medieval times. Yeah, you had that.
Yeah,
that squire, that Padawan has to be exposed because they have to learn.
Look, I'm just saying, I'm gonna leave it off with this. All right, I hope they put stuff in place, and I hope that stuff is just as good, if not better. And that is my hope. All right, it's a very skeptical hope. All right, my my view on episodes 7, 8, and 9, I'm looking at it with, I believe that the movies are going to be good. You know, I'm looking forward to them for sure. But I hope they go back and they fill in some of the stuff that we're missing from the canon. I hope it's going to be good, if not better.
All I know is there better not be a damn Mark Hamill face that shows up at Blockbuster with a suckable tongue.
Right. And if you enjoy stories about suckable tongues, go to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. You'll get a 30-day free trial at Audible by going to that link. And you can download your free book.
This isn't totally zeros. I expect better segues here.
You can download your free book today. Now, if you like stories about suckable tongues, we would recommend Fatal Alliance, which is just a suck-worthy story. But if you want a good story, try downloading Revan, or maybe Deceived, or Annihilation. Those are SWTOR novels. Of course, they're non-canonical, boo. But hey, you know what? They're awesome stories. Learn all about Revan right there at audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork.
Recently downloaded a new book on Audible, but it's not a SWTOR book.
No, huh? What was it?
It was War Crimes, the New World of Warcraft novel. And it's actually pretty good.
Yeah? Okay.
Way better than Fatal Alliance.
The suckable tongue of SWTOR novels, Fatal Alliance?
No, the bleep tickling of SWTOR novels.
Gotcha. audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. Thanks a lot, guys, for sponsoring our show in part today. We are moving into our Star Wars recommendations of the week. We're going to start off with Lou, and I am going to heartily apologize for what happens in this section.
No, do not apologize.
Of the show. Lou, what are you recommending?
Well, I'm going to recommend this week a piece of great non-canonical work. Ooh, sorry.
Too soon.
All right. It's actually one of my favorites. It's Tales of the Jedi, The Golden Age of the Sith. All right. This is from... it was written by Kevin J. Anderson. If you're familiar with the EU, even though he's written quite a few novels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this series was published by Dark Horse Comics, right, from the Tales of the Jedi series, from July 96 through February 1997. And just as a quick blurb, it just tells the story leading up to the Great Hyperspace War, as well as the final battle in the Unification Wars of the Koro system. Or in a much more exciting format from the publisher themselves, the history of the Republic has become legend. How the bold explorations of young Gav and Jori Daragon brought two galactic empires crashing together. How Odin Ur became a powerful Jedi, and how the seven worlds of the Koro system are finally united by the wise and skilled Empress Teta. And this takes place 5 millennia before Luke Skywalker and the fall of Palpatine's Empire.
Okay. Got the, I got it right up here on the, on the feed. And, looks interesting, I'll tell you that. This guy's all, dressed up in a nice Pharaoh gear. What it looks like.
Sorry. Yeah, and one thing I do like about this series is that, yeah, just like it implies, you know, this is with the Sith in their heyday.
Yeah.
Before the Great Hyperspace War, okay? Which pretty much, you know, if you're following the game, you know, this is what leads to the Sith disappearing. You know, for over 1,000 years before they come back at the end of the third, or beginning of the third trailer for SWTOR.
Right. Okay. Fred, what about you? What's your cringe-worthy recommendation of the week?
This week I picked something incredibly lame. Yeah. It's the exclusive Star Wars Jedi robe sleeved blanket, a.k.a. Snuggie.
It's a Jedi robe Snuggie. Oh, this thing's awesome. Wow.
I want you to click on the second picture.
Okay, let me take a look at that. Well, hold on a second here. Okay, I can cycle through. What on earth?
And it says family reunion.
Aw, look how sweet.
Oh, it's bull crap. Now let's move on to your recommendation, Yvonne. This should be a hoot.
I'm sure it will be. So here's the thing, all right.
No, don't give any preface. Just recommend it.
No preface, huh?
Yes. Just go into this.
This is the kind of thing that really requires just You got to look at it for what it is first, basically.
Yes. So
I want all the men out there to really take a look at this right here. This is the Star Wars male thong, and before you judge, I want you to know I'm wearing one right now. Out of all of my thongs that I currently employ.
That doesn't stop the podcast.
What?
We are done.
I'm just saying, like, this is the, out of all
no,
the ones.
No, you say nothing more.
My leopard print thong, the cheetah one is just fantastic, I'll tell you that.
Okay, so folks, tonight we're brought to you by Tweaked Audio.
This one has the most amount of packaging in it. It's really, I mean, you don't need any socks, I'll tell you that. It's buffed real well. it's very comfortable. That's the best part about this whole thing.
In the name of the Emperor, please shut your mouth.
You can get it at Etsy.com. For $9.99. I mean, where else are you going to spend $9.99? Where else are you going to spend it any better than this? The Star Wars male thong.
Lou, fire up the escape pod.
Way ahead of you.
Every stripper pole on Nar Shaddaa is envious of this right here.
Why the hell did you take off your robe to do this recommendation?
I think I'm just going to plunge my head into the ion core for a second.
I know you can't see him right now, dear listener, but Yvonne's sitting here wearing nothing but a Star Wars Speedo and sucking on a Jar Jar Binks tongue.
Jesus.
And if you're listening to me right now, hopefully you're doing it on a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds from tweakedaudio.com. Quality earbuds with free worldwide shipping. Even if you live over in the UK where nobody cares about you, you get your earbuds for no more than we have to pay. Unbeatable customer service. And trust me, I've tried to beat them, but it's hard. Lifetime warranty with our code off the record at checkout. You save 30%, and hopefully you've always done with this recommendation. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com.
I've actually got the Tweaked Audio website up right now. My favorite right here are the Classic Blacks for $29.95. You can get these. I'm actually using them right now. They never tangle. They've got this nylon cord on them that keeps them from tangling and getting knotted up, which is great. And the audio clarity and the quality is absolutely fantastic. You spend $29.95, but really you get something that just sounds like you spent more than that, like $80, $100 or so. Just amazing stuff for what they're able to do for the price. And of course, you know, Fred had mentioned 30% off with our code off the record, and you're not even paying for shipping to have them sent out to you. You spend $29.95, you actually spend 30% less than that with our code off the record, and they ship them to you for free. Worldwide, doesn't matter where you live here on planet Earth. And
I feel the need to share right now that our chat room had a wonderful reaction to Yvonne's recommendation.
Oh, did they?
Such wonderful quotes as, "Can not be unheard," and "Excuse me while I go wash my brain in bleach."
I do my best to remember the Star Wars recommendation of the week. I really do, and I constantly forget. And
after being reminded 30 seconds beforehand.
Indeed, even after all of that. But I want to thank Fred for helping me out with that every now and again. I'm not going to say if I remembered this week or not, but I am going to thank Fred.
It burns when you thank me.
Agent Olan, your intelligence report.
Oh, criminy. Now Bodar's putting on his pair. Help him with the elastic, Evalon.
You know, I may be doing this report while I'm ejecting out of the escape pod. Just,
you know. Well, we only got 13 minutes till we're due to crash into a meteorite, so hurry up.
All right. This week's intelligence report. As I've already mentioned earlier in the program, the Chiss, Part 1, Enigma from the Unknown Regions. Or, in a simple quote, the Chiss do not simply accept alien concepts without careful consideration. We certainly do not submit to domination by anyone. And that's by Mithran Nerodo. That's Thrawn, in case you guys didn't know. So the Chiss. Really quickly, they were a tall, blue-skinned, near-human civilization from the planet Scylla in the Unknown Regions. Due to the remote position of their home territory in the Chiss Ascendancy, they remained largely an enigma to the rest of the galaxy, and contact with outsiders was limited even in the days of the Galactic Alliance, well, which is usually episodes 4 through 6 and beyond. So who are they again? The Chiss, again, we mentioned before, a near-human species distinguished by their blue skin and glowing red eyes, which grew darker depending on the oxygen content of their surroundings. The more oxygen present, the more intense the color of their eyes and skin tone. While their hair was typically jet black, it did on rare occasions go gray with age. Most Chiss believe that the development of gray hair was an indication of the siring of exceptional children. Their physical form led to some speculation on whether they were an offshoot of humanity's ancient expansions into the galaxy, or whether their physical form coincidentally matched that of humans. However, genetic analysis indicated that they were an offshoot of humanity, and it was believed that moving underground led to a divergence between them and baseline humans. Furthermore, this analysis indicated that their unique skin tone was the result of exposure to glacial minerals. Their blue skin, jet-black hair, and red eyes generally commanded attention once they were in a crowd of regular humanoids, and these features made them physically striking and instantly recognizable. Male and female Chiss tend to be more powerfully built when compared to humans, but exhibit the same variances as humanoid sexes. A Chiss stood between either 1.6 to 2.1 meters in height, though an average height of an adult was believed to be 1.7 meters. The University of Sambra concluded the fact that all Chiss often appeared in very good physical shape was an indication that the species possessed an active metabolism which was responsible for their trim figure. Thus, this was believed to be responsible for preventing obesity that was commonly found within more sedentary humanoids. While the report concluded that they were indeed near humans, they had not determined a specific point of evolutionary divergence. There was, in fact, a human sleeper ship colony established on Scylla around 27,500 years before the Battle of Yavin. Though records of this were virtually non-existent, and it remained unknown how a remote area of the galaxy could have been trailblazed so far back. They did display, physiologically, very few signs of evolutionary adaptations to their icy environment, with even their skin pigmentation not providing any apparent benefit. Beyond the obvious physical features, physiologically, the Chiss were similar to humans to the point that they possess a comparable circulatory, neurological, digestive, and reproductive systems. The Chiss vocal mechanism was known for being similar to humans, but there were apparent differences which was evident in their capacity to speak their native language. In addition, they experienced a greatly accelerated growth rate compared to humans, which contributed to their reaching maturity faster than humans. Thus, a Chiss at the age of 10 years held the physical maturity of a 20-year-old human. This, in turn, resulted in a culturally imprinted emotional maturity that was many times above that of their human counterparts. They were capable of living up to 80 years old, at which point a Chiss was considered venerable. Children were between ages 1 to 10, and they experienced a rapid adolescence from 11 to 12, and were considered full adults by 13 to 14. Middle age followed between the ages of 51 to 62, and those aged 63 to 79 were considered old. Certain anthropologists believe that the Nagai, another alien race, were perhaps an offshoot of the Chiss, but no legends or history records in either species indicated the validity of such a claim. The origin of the Chiss, again, were a legend unknown, even to the Chiss themselves, though some scientists thought that they were the result of a long-forgotten human colony that had been lost to time. This was the leading theory held by not only Chiss historians, but scientists within the New Republic, who held the view that this colony predated the formation of the Old Republic. A report by the University of Sambra indicated that there was very little known Chiss history due to their own records being carefully guarded on their homeworld. However, scattered reports from many intrepid scholars suggested the Chiss were a forgotten colonization attempt. This theory was mostly based on their resemblance to humanity. Genetic analysis later confirmed that the Chiss were indeed an offshoot of the human species' earliest attempts at colonization. It was believed that sometime before, again, 27,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, a lost colony of humans settled in the unknown regions on Scylla. According to Chiss legend, their homeworld was once a warm and tropical planet. However, the planet was later locked in an ice age with profound glaciation encompassing the terrestrial world. This forced the Chiss ancestors to travel along the ice front's leading edge in order to survive at the temperate front as glaciers began spreading across the planet. Though it was believed that the glaciation process occurred over an extended period of time, it was also at an age when the Chiss were already technologically advanced, which allowed them to overcome these challenges to their survival by way of technological adaptations. This led many to conclude that the early Chiss existed on Scylla prior to its coming to an ice age. Thus, Scylla nearly became inhospitable by 5,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, and it was only by living underground that this divergent species survived. These events furthered the genetic changes notably seen in their skin tone and eyes. Thus, it was believed that by going underground, the race gradually began to diverge from baseline human species. The glacial mineral content began to alter the physiology into its more modern form. Xenosociologists believe that this period had a profound mental impact on the developing Chiss and led to the evolution of their current mindset. However, little was known of these early Chiss, as certain legends indicated that a decadent culture had formed in the tropics that were unprepared for this ice age. Related parables even stated that northern dwelling Chiss slaughtered their decadent southern cousins when resources became sparse and chilling temperatures befell the planet. Regardless, it was known that the Chiss adapted well to the planet during its climatic change and began tapping into geothermal energy as a power source. This led to the building of several popular cities amongst the glaciers and were quick to develop a global government. Thus, they avoided the adolescence period common to developing worlds that saw nations compete with another, along with adopting a planet-wide tongue. Eventually, their species mastered star travel independently, with some speculation that they tapped into the ancient memories of the colonization effort that first brought them to Scylla. And this concludes part one of the Chiss. Next week, we're going to cover the Chiss Ascendancy. And I just want to say thank you to Wikipedia, StarWars.com, Force.net, and other websites out there, Star Wars lore. Folks, if you enjoy the lore as much as I do, go to these sites, take a look. You will not be disappointed.
And thanks to you for bringing us this new series on the Chiss. It's something I haven't read the Thrawn trilogy, so I know very, very little about. And I'm very interested in figuring this out and hearing about it. I have to say, the age thing was very, very interesting. They've got a rapid adolescence, and by 14, they're considered to be adults. That's nuts.
Yeah, it makes you kind of wonder now about the Chiss characters you see in the game, and even the one you create if you unlock the species.
Right. Which I have. And, yeah, definitely. All right, on to our Hollow Feed, and we're going to start off with the Lore Masters Trivia Question of the Week, brought to you by Swotori Forged on Facebook, facebook.com/SwotoriForged. This is where, if you want to connect with us, this is how to do it. Well, one of the ways in which you can do it, of course, but we offer Facebook exclusives that you're not going to see anywhere else, and we've got some pretty interesting fun and exciting things coming for you down the road as well. So facebook.com/SwotoriForged. Lou!
Alrighty. As Ron just mentioned, yes, the trivia question is posted on Facebook. facebook.com/SwotoriForged. Alright, look for the question posted by me. I post under my real life name. So look for a post by Louis Salon. Alright, when you answer the question, please include your character name, your faction, and server with the answer. And usually the first three people with the correct answers, they enter the pool to win a cartel pack. And a random choice by either Fred or Varman, whoever put in the hot seat that week, they will be the winner. And as a quick wrap-up, last week's winner was Christopher S., a.k.a. Calamity Kid. All right, he should be getting his cartel pack over the next couple of days. And the finalists this week, as of right before the show, well, only two people had the correct answers. So, this week's finalists are Brian C. and Grand Moff Roundup. And here is the question of the week. Or, the answer they were posing for. First clue. Deemed as failures, we were sentenced to death. Instead, someone adopted us. Second clue. Though we served a great cause, our loyalty was to only one person in the galaxy. Third clue. We were trained in the arts of an ancient warrior culture where race was inconsequential. Fourth clue. Ever we hunted for the one who held the knowledge for extending our lives. Fifth and final clue. Sometimes called instant death on legs, our rivals thought we were an embarrassment to our proud heritage. Who, what am I? And the answer is the Null Class Advanced Reconnaissance Commandos, or the Null Arcs. All right, if you've ever read the Republic Commando series, Karen Travis, even though those are Republic Commandos, one of the main characters in that series is Sergeant Cal Scarada, okay? One of the few surviving Mandalorians of that age. Okay. And the failures were the very first clone commands that were created by the Kaminoans. All right. 12 were created, 6 survived. Okay. Initially, when Scarada met them, they were little boys. Okay. And the Kaminoans were going to execute them because they couldn't be controlled. All right. They weren't soldier material in their eyes. So, he gave them a proposal, he'll adopt them, he'll train them. And because of that, when the Clone Wars started, yes, they served the Republic faithfully, but their true loyalty lay with Scarada. And as you just mentioned before, Scarada was Mandalorian. So he trained them in the fighting arts, in the culture, the history of the Mandalorians. Okay, where race was inconsequential. All right, that's one point I like to point out to everyone. Because most people think Mandalorian, all they think of the humans. All right, especially with Jango Fett. But if you've been playing Tor, you notice too that Mandalorians are a culture. They're not a species. So yes, you can have a Twi'lek Mandalorian, a Rodian Mandalorian. As long as that Mandalorian adopts you, no matter what species you are, you will always be known as a Mandalorian to others. Yeah, you have to embody the ideals and the beliefs of a culture. All right. They were always on the lookout for the one scientist, clone geneticist, that held the key to make, you know, to unlocking the clone's gene so that they could actually lead full lives as opposed to the aging process they were subject to. All right, remember that? They age rapidly. And their nickname was Instant Death on Legs, all right, because the Null Arcs were that good. All right, although the other commandos, the Arcs, okay, the Alphas, they were called, the Alpha Arcs, they thought the Nulls were an embarrassment and should have been disposed of. So, this week's finalists, Brian C. and Grand Moff Roundoff. Fred, one or two, you choose.
Well, there's two of you, and both of you are losers. There's one of me, and I'm a winner. So, number one.
Oh! Number one! And this week's winner is Grand Moff Roundup.
Congratulations.
All right, so Grand Moff. Congratulations. If you're listening, when you listen to the podcast, since you have your information, look out for an email from me in-game. With your free cartel pack. Congratulations.
And we'll have another question up for you right there. Starting maybe tomorrow for Lou?
Either late tomorrow night or Wednesday, the next new question will be up.
Very good. We'll see about maybe tweeting that out as well with our Twitter account. I think that's maybe something that we could probably look into doing.
Okay.
Just letting people know that it's out there. Speaking of Twitter, by the way, you contacted us on Twitter, and from Jason Brown says at Swotori Forged, now every time Treek walks past me, I'm afraid she's going to hump my leg and I'll get a debuff. Poor Treek. Miles Ribbon says at Avarwin, glad you're back. You bring a lot to the show. Hope your break was relaxing. It was, and thank you. Lord Fluffy Duck says at Swotori Forged, came across another Star Wars recommendation of the week, Millennium Falcon Bean Bag Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, this is filled of win.
That looks awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
I implore you to be out killing people, and instead you're sending us pictures of bean bag chairs. You have failed me this time, apprentice.
Osh says at Swotori Forge, love the Disney Darth Vader mashup songs. As awesome as Tor film would be, I like stories of era to have a variety of feel and writers. Not sure having Tor canon is a good idea.
Talking about. You don't want to see the movie where you got Vader and like Princess Leia singing together, a whole new galaxy. A whole new place full of people to kill.
And our QGN contributor, Brian Armstrong, tweets at Swotori Forge saying, we've all been there, buddy. And he sends this picture right here that says, it's got a trooper, and it says, regret. Those were the droids I was looking for. Brian. Brian Armstrong coming up very, very soon, just a few minutes now for Totally Heroes, Totally Live. They'll be coming up very, very soon. Fred, Sith Lord Korv, what have people been saying on Facebook?
Well, we've posted the question on our Facebook page asking people how they like our gameplay episodes because we wanted feedback because... You know, feedback from our fans is occasionally important to us.
Occasionally, huh?
Jason C. said, I actually prefer the more structured episodes, but as long as there are some news content and gameplay discussions, I'm still listening to the gameplay episodes. If you continue with the gameplay format, then it'd be cool for you guys to talk while doing different things. Datacron hunting, a different daily area, or whatever. That spices things up for me a bit, at least. And Jason P., I love them. It's a nice change of pace every so often. Dan K., it's a nice change. No one else really does that. It's cool once in a while. So yeah, what Jason said. Phil D., the gameplay episodes are fun, but I like the regular ones better. And Grand Moff Roundup, let everybody know what server and tune/faction you are on, and then do some Galactic Starfighter and War Zones. I know I would like to play with the guys I listen to each week. I already done some with Galactic Starfighter with and against Road from Torocast. And I posted the reply on Facebook. Well, we play on the Jedi Covenant server, all three of us. And I know Grand Moff Roundup is on our server. So we'll have to take a look at that in the future when we do our next gameplay episode, actually doing some Galactic Starfighter or Warzone so some of the fans can jump in with us.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. That's actually a pretty good idea. This show is of course, brought to you by the wonderful Quest Gaming Network. Check us out here at QGN. We've got some pretty awesome shows for you. All right. Obviously, this one, SWTOR Reforged, we record this Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Totally Heroes. That is the QGN show where the notes don't matter. Or maybe they do. But no, they really don't.
Is this, a generic Seinfeld? It's the show where the notes are made up and nothing matters.
Yeah, that's right. Totally Heroes is a blog show based on the gaming industry for that week, and you've got some awesome QGN hosts on there. You got David D'Enforce Adams, Shank the Tank, and of course Brian Armstrong, our QGN contributor. Check that out Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Elder Scrolls Off the Record Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And Classic Elder Scrolls Night, Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. All of that recorded right here, live, twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. Our listeners have sent us some emails this week. And this one comes from Jack A., who says, "Dear SWTOR Reforged, hey, it's Jack A. with the new information that I'll have to wait another 6 months before playing Elder Scrolls Online. I fell into an almost carbonite-induced state of despair. I tried drowning out my sorrows with YouTube videos when I stumbled upon the cast announcement for Star Wars 7. This started a chain reaction that eventually landed me in the Ebon Millennium and the official Star Wars, the Old Republic site, where I immediately downloaded the game. I'm binge-watching, or rather hearing, all the podcasts while enjoying SWTOR with my smuggler. Although I have a screen resolution bug that makes the character model stretched and distorted, I'm troubleshooting, and hopefully I'll solve it soon. You guys are the greatest, and I can't wait to spam you with my questions about the game after I catch up. Sincerely, Jack A." Well, thanks, Jack, and we're looking forward to some of those questions, of course. I hope you're enjoying SWTOR, and we know the console announcement for Elder Scrolls Online was a big disappointment for many, but hang in there, buddy, and we'll get there together. And this has come from, let me see if I can load this up real quick. Here we go. So this comes from Dan Kay and says, "Here's a Star Wars recommendation that I think even Sith Lord Korv would like." Dan Kay. Dan sends us this. It is a R2-D2 soy sauce dispenser, but
I Sith would Lord like Korv. That because I recommended it weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you recommended it once.
Dan Kay doesn't even listen to the show.
Well, thanks for the recommendation.
My heart, Dan Kay.
Dan Kay. Thank you, sir. And Fred, why don't you tell us what's happening in the SWTOR community this week?
All right. So Torocast, episode 200, posted on May 13th on torocast.com. Corellian Run Radio, episode 117, has been available on CorellianRun.com since the 6th. UtiniCast, episode 138, is on UtiniCast.com and has been available since the 15th. The Unnamed SWTOR Podcast, episode 45, has been available since the 18th at GotOutGaming.com. The SWTOR Escape Podcast, episode 38, is available at NewOverlords.com since the 12th, and the Bad Feeling Podcast, episode 14, has been available since the 15th on BadFeelingPodcast.com. And remember, that's an explicit podcast. And also, you can follow Madmar at SWTOR Family for the latest happenings in the SWTOR community.
Now, if you'd like to have your podcast or fan site listed on that part of the segment, send us an email at SWTORReforged.com. Also, excuse me, swotoryforged@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to check up on all of the latest information for SWOTOR on our website at swotoryforged.com. We can thank Sith Lord Korv right here for reporting on all of that great information. Thank you, sir. Does a good job. Also, Facebook, facebook.com/SWOTORYFORGED. That is the only place you're going to get the Lore Master question of the week. And also, we're going to be hosting some more giveaways on Facebook only. We might be giving away some game time cards. We may be giving away some download codes as well. So pretty soon we're going to be doing that. So check us out over there at Facebook. Facebook.com/SWOTORYFORGED. And like I said, send us an email at SWOTORYFORGED@gmail.com. Don't forget to tweet at us at SWOTORYFORGED. That's SWTORREFORGED. I'm Avarwin. You can follow me at Avarwin. That's EVARWYN. And Lou is at GamerGuy11B, GamerGuy11B. And Fred's at SithLordKorv, KORV. We're a part of the Quest Gaming Network. You can follow that at questgamingnetwork.com and at Quest Gaming. Final thoughts, gentlemen.
Another fun episode.
Yeah, I agree. Anything? Maybe not Bodar, though. Jeez, buddy.
He's in a bad mood all episode. Wow.
I know. He's poor Bodar. I think he's got his Star Wars thong on a little too tight.
I think we need to go at least another 36 episodes before you advertise a banana hammock again.
Fred, what do you think about some of the information that we covered this week? Maybe something on the roadmap or non-canonical stuff.
Well, I think that the roadmap is good, and I hope that they stick with that format. Mm-hmm. Like going forward after August 19th, I want a roadmap showing us what's coming to the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I would be happy if they did that roadmap like quarterly going forward.
Yeah, that'd be some pretty awesome information on a regular basis. What about you, Lou? What's some of your final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Fred. I really hope they stick to this format with the roadmap. I hope we do see another update later on this year. Mm-hmm. Keep a surprise of what's going on. But my biggest final thought is the fact that I'm sad and disappointed with the fact that, you know, SWOTOR has been relegated to non-canonical.
Yeah.
Right, and all the work associated with, you know, the KOTOR games. You know, even the EU is the fact that, you know, it's to me, I feel like it's just been swept aside.
Yeah, and I agree.
I don't think it's right.
Nah. Boo for non-canonical. Looking forward to all those events, that's for sure. And chew on this. Principal photography for Star Wars Episode 7 began this past week. So it is on its way, guys. And I can't wait. SWOTORY Forged. That's Quest Gaming Network production in association with the Middle Earth Network. Let's start to say goodbye, everyone. We're going to start with Lou.
Good night, everyone. Glad you're all here. See you all again next time.
And Bodar. Fred, Sith Lord Korv.
I never thought a banana hammock would be an instrument of the light.
Say goodbye, Treek. Keep it short, Treek. Thank you. And of course, K2. Q2F3. Take care, everyone. Have a great night. Be safe. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.